This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Been mentioned, we're transitioning into the Advent season and breaking away from our study in the book of Luke. And I don't know about you, but I felt like, you know, it kind of piggybacked right on top of Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving on Advent, depending on how you look at it. But it's just a blessing to be able to do this. This morning, we're looking at the first candle which was lit. This represents the prophecy candle of hope. There is a hope that we have in the Christmas story. Because in it came the Messiah, who was Jesus. And he was named Jesus because the Bible says he will save his people from their sins. That is a hope that every sinner has, that without Christ there is no hope. That he came into the world to give us a promise. And whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. The title of this message is called Upon His Shoulder. Upon His Shoulder. Taken from our scripture reading, the prophecy given to Isaiah about a child that would be coming into the world. And a government through that child, which would be placed on his shoulder. There are times in our lives where we feel like there is a weight too great for us to carry. I know lately, and probably some of you can relate to this, that these past few months, with everything going on in our country and everything that we've been trying to do, the different prayers and events, you know, you just feel like there's a heaviness. And that's good to some extent because it carries us on, it moves us to obey, to seek the Lord, to do our part. But sometimes we allow it to press upon us more than it ought to. And what ends up happening is rather than spurring us on to what is good, it ends up constricting us and it ends up cutting the life of God in our lives. We get discouraged, we kind of just throw our hands up sometimes because we can't take it. And we thought we could in our own strength carry this weight, but then we find out it is too strong. And sometimes that happens in your life, and it doesn't have to be what's going on with our country. It could be anything that happens in your life that you feel is just too heavy. And you try to carry it of your own strength, and you can't. And you think you can, it doesn't seem that bad, but it's the prolongedness of it, day after day after day, that it just gets too much. I work for Amish part-time, and we did a job a couple weeks ago recently in this cow barn, a very massive dairy operation, multiple barns, freestall barns where the cattle are free to roam throughout. And there was this one building where the rafters, a few of the rafters, they were not engineered properly, and so they had crumbled under the weight of a snow load the previous year. And so our job was to come and to reinforce all the rafters in this massive building so none of the other rafters crumble. And we just loaded these rafters up with plywood and nails upon nails upon nails, thousands of nails put into these rafters. This is a huge building, hundreds of feet long. Well, I was in the lift with my coworker, and we were up nailing the plywood on, and we realized that we were out of nails. We didn't grab enough. And the nails were way down the other end of the barn at the tool trailer. And so I, you know, being pumped from work, I said, I'll go get them. And he said, okay, but are you going to be able to carry them? They're heavy, these boxes of nails. I said, yeah, I can carry them, no problem. And so let me down. And so I got down and I hurriedly walked down the hundreds of feet across and got to the tool trailer, and I had to get three different kinds. We were using three different styles of nails and screws This was all done through an engineer project to redo these rafters. And I got in the trailer and I picked up one, put it on a stack, put it on a pile of two and three. And I got the three boxes and I lifted them up and I said, this is not bad at all. I could do this. And I take them and I'm carrying them down and I'm walking along. And then I notice something as I'm walking. This relatively light stack of boxes of nails and screws. I notice that my heart starts racing a little bit more. And I notice that my breathing just starts to get a little bit increased. And I notice this funny tingling feeling between my arms and legs and back that's coming. Not sure what's going on. And as I'm going and I'm going, I realize that this relatively light stack of nails is relatively heavy all of a sudden. And I'm walking down, and of course, you know, my coworker can see me coming, and so I don't want to put them down to rest because, you know, I could handle it. And so I keep going, and I'm going, and I'm going, and by the time I get to the lift, I think I look like a slug or something dragging along these three boxes of nails, just can't even breathe, my heart is about to pump out of my ears or something, and it was a weight that I couldn't take any further. And sometimes that happens to us. A weight that we think we can handle ends up getting really heavy. And that's because we were not meant to carry it of our own. And what we'll see in this prophecy given to us through Isaiah is that there is a coming hope who wants to take that weight that you are not called to bear upon his shoulder. This message doesn't have any of the alliteration. There are 4 points that we just want to look at this morning. Point number one, the transfer of weight is offered as a gift. The transfer of weight is offered as a gift. Look in verse 6 there of the book of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto... Okay, we're going to be looking at pretty much every single word in this first half of this verse. Because they're so profound. They're so deep of meaning and worth and wonder. Unto us a child is born. It's a gift. This is a gift from God. It was at His expense. It was unto us, from God. This gift that God wants to give to the world who will take these weights is given of His own expense, of His own accord, of His own will. John chapter 3 verse 16, we know this verse, but it is so true. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave a gift, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That is what sin has brought. Sin has brought death into this world. Our rebellion against God has brought death, our condemnation. The wages of sin is death. But the what? Gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the flip side. Okay, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, that whoever believes in Him will get, will have, inherit that eternal life, but it is a gift. When you go out this Christmas season and you go purchasing gifts for your family and friends, they will be at your expense. And so it was with this gift. It came at the expense of Almighty God to give it to the world. And we can't say anything else than what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This is a gift. Okay, but what else is it? What else is this? The second point. The gift is given to an undeserving people. Okay? An undeserving people. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Not only is it a gift to us. And who are we? We are an undeserving people. When you give gifts to your family and friends, okay, they don't deserve it, but there's a sense of like it's understood. Okay, it's Christmas time, you give gifts, okay, they're your friends and family. They kind of have that privilege because they're in on your life, okay? It's not the case with us. We're an undeserving people, and we have no in with God of our own accord. He gives it freely to us. The Christmas story doesn't make sense. It's not like the way we celebrate Christmas and giving gifts. Nobody deserved that which was in the manger. No one. Nobody deserved it. Why? Well, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says, "There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." There is not. Okay, there are just men on earth. Okay, by God's grace. There are men on earth who do good. Okay, even those who are not Christians, people do good things. I think we can admit that. But the verse says there is not a just man who does good and does not sin. Can anyone fill that qualification there? And does not sin. We deserve God's judgment. We deserve God's wrath because we are sinners, rebellious against Him and against His laws. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, deserving wrath, deserving judgment, deserving condemnation, which sinners will receive if they don't repent of their sin and turn to Christ. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The verse goes on to say that, you know, people will die for a good man. But who's going to die for a sinner? They deserve their death. It's given to us. Who are we? Who do we identify ourselves as? There's a lot of talk our day about identity, you know. Choose your identity. Choose what pronoun you want people to refer to you as, you know. Make it your own. I was assisting with this recount in Madison recently, and the one person, the way they alternated people on the different sides of the political spectrum to look at the ballots and recount them, and the person next to me, who was on the opposite of the political, social, and logical spectrum, his name was Shoes. He had a name tag on his shirt, and he wanted to be referred to as Shoes, a nickname. His last name was Schumacher. And he also wrote underneath, "Refer to me as they/them. So he wanted to take this pronoun, asexual pronoun of them. Okay, we're trying to avoid gender references. And so don't say he, don't say she, say they or them. You know, binary. You hear about this talk. It's very prevalent in our day. And it amazes me, you know, people can just take whatever identity they want and be referred to however they want. Well, you know, in our day and age, we've seen a great increase in identity theft. Did you know that? There has been an astronomical increase of identity theft. And why is that? Well, I read the reason is that there is an increase of identity theft is because identity thieves are taking the pronouns you and yours. But what does the Bible say about our identity? We can't define ourselves. God must define us, for He created us. And the Bible says we are sinners. Paris Reed had said, he's a great preacher of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, he says we're monsters of iniquity. And until one comes to grips with who the Bible says that they are, there is no hope of salvation. And it is unto us, sinners as we are, it is unto us that a child is born. It is unto us that a son is given. The gift was not unto angels. It was unto us. The gift was not unto the seraphim. The gift was not unto the cherubim. The gift was not unto the Nephilim. It was unto us. Until we understand the depravity of our race, the sickness of our hearts, and how we are the most offensive category of God's good creation, we will never understand, we'll never weep, we'll never buckle, never appreciate the simple few words, unto us. A child is born. But once we are awakened to who it is we really are, when we look in the mirror, then we see the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of God's love and grace when He says, unto you I give a child, unto you a son is given. That means that even though we are worthless and vile and wretched and worthy of everlasting condemnation, God says, I give you the child. I give you worth. I give you meaning. I give you my very own son. Have you received him? Have you received that gift given unto you? The third point, the gift is one like us. The gift is one like us. Verse 6, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This gift that God is giving is one who is going to take these weights that we're talking about. And he is one like us. The gift is not a sinner. He is without sin, but he is like us, born of a woman, born under the law, born in the flesh as we are flesh. It is a child, a son. This morning, Sunday school, we broke away from our series to look at Pastor Eric Luty talking about the lineage of majesty. How there was this promise that the seed of a woman would crush the head of the serpent, and how God fulfilled that promise throughout history. And the Jews were looking forward to that coming Messiah. They knew that that promise was given to Adam and Eve. And I wonder if the Jews, when they heard the words of the prophet Isaiah, and they said, you know, Isaiah wrote, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. I wonder if they would have immediately thought back to the garden. The day when all of mankind fell into sin, and God pronounces judgment on the devil and says to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so when the Jews, they hear this prophecy of, unto you, a child is born, a son is given. I wonder if they thought, this is the seed. This is the child, the son, the one who will destroy the empire of evil. Is this the child that Isaiah speaks of? Or maybe Isaiah was referring to King David. You know, when David wrote in Psalm 2, speaking of on behalf of God, and God says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Maybe the Jews thought, the son. This is the son of Psalm 2. The one who will inherit the nations. This is he who is given unto us. The Messiah, the Savior, the King, the Ruler, the one true authority of whom everyone owes everlasting allegiance. Have you given your allegiance to him this morning? Have you given your allegiance to the King? The son, the child. And to the fourth point, the gift includes a government. The gift includes a government. That's the fifth point. Nope. Fourth point. The gift includes a government. I think we all can admit we live in a time of a tumultuous government. Everyone's trying hard to preserve it. I heard a recent threat that the government might want to take away the fifth month of the year. I don't know why, but I do know that everyone will be dismayed. Government. Government. The chief topic of our time. We're celebrating a holiday that parts of our government leaders consider racist and intolerant. That's a heavy weight. That is a heavy weight. But in comes this child to us. In comes this son to us. And he says, a government will come. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The increase of his government, it will be a government of peace. It will be a perfect government. Imagine that. A perfect, complete, wholesome government. No corruption. No evil. But where our King reigns righteously. And we serve Him faithfully. Joyously. Full of peace. Where He wipes away every tear from our eyes. He's bringing that in. It is a beautiful picture. And that leads to the last point. The gift includes not only a government, but a governor. Look at verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Upon his shoulder. Oh, how this verse brought peace to my heart when I read it. Because for a while, I think a lot of us, we felt like Atlas. Have any of you ever heard of Atlas? He's the Greek god. You've seen statues of him. He's hunched over and he's got the whole earth back on his shoulder. Okay. He was condemned. It was his punishment to bear the weight of the world. And we feel like Atlas sometimes, trying to hold the weight of the world upon our shoulders. And a promise is given to us that the government will be upon his shoulders. Because he can take it. He can handle it. He will take responsibility. So often we get overburdened, not because what we're doing is wrong. Not because we shouldn't get involved. Not because we took too much under our hands. But because we're trying to be Atlas. We're trying to carry it of our own accord. And it is not we who can effectively hold the responsibility of God's creation on our shoulders. Sure, the Bible says that God is in heaven, the earth He's given to man. But the Bible says that we blew it. We fail. We keep trying and sometimes we get a measure of success, but we often fall short. And in comes a man, Jesus Christ, who says, I'm coming, and I'm going to take the government. My own government, which incorporates all the governments of the world together upon my shoulders, he says. So what we do is when we have this weight like Atlas, Christ comes over and he says, let me take that from you. And you take it and you place it upon him. He receives it upon himself. And he says, come now, follow me and I'll show you what to do. And I'll give you exactly what you need to bear from then on. What does Jesus say? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That doesn't mean we don't do anything. That doesn't mean we don't work hard. That doesn't mean we just sit on our haunches and let Christ take over. No, what does he say? He says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is light. My burden is easy. Because he's the one who has taken the full bulk of the responsibility. He gives to each one of us exactly what we are called to do. That government gives a peace in our hearts. So while we're serving him, giving our all for him, We trust Him. We serve Him faithfully. We look to our Master and we realize that He's got it under His control. He says, it will be upon my shoulder. You know something? I look forward and can't wait for a one world government. You write that down. Quote me on it. I can't wait for a one world government. I hasten its coming. What government is that? It's the government of peace, which my Lord and Savior speaks of. He's going to bring that one world government. It's going to be set up on this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to serve Him faithfully. There'll be kind of a bracket of time of war, but then that government will continue on. Because the Bible says of the increase of that government and peace, there will be no end. It's now increasing, this very moment. What we're doing when we serve Him is furthering that government. And it is going to take over the whole world, the whole universe, the galaxies are all going to be under this one world government. It's not the government of the evil one that He'll allow for a little bit of time. It's going to be the everlasting government of His peace. So all we have to do when He takes it upon His shoulder is serve our King, obey our King, do what our King bids us to do, and let Him reign as He ought to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That word casting is used in two places of the Bible. In this verse, casting, and the verse, the triumphal entry, when it says that the disciples cast their garments on the donkey before Jesus mounted it. And there's the picture for you. A donkey is a beast of burden. It's designed to carry weights. So cast your anxieties and your cares upon Him as you would cast the load and the supplies upon a donkey's back. Cast it on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Because it is unto you that He is to come. The donkey will bear the load. So I say, brothers and sisters, although in the process of our being salt and light, we feel we let it get to us in ways we ought not to, that constricts us of our anxiety, the Bible says, cast it upon Him. We try to take that upon our shoulder, but Christ says, put it on mine, upon my shoulder. I will carry it. Whatever it is, God knows your heart. That weight that you feel you can't bear, you can't take it. Feel like your legs are wobbly, your heart is racing too heavy. You're sweating profusely. Put it on His shoulder. He has the kingdom of heaven to come. You are His servant. And of the increase of that kingdom, there will be no end. For unto us it is given. As we close in prayer, brothers and sisters, I want you, myself included, to come before the throne of grace and to ask God, O God, search my heart. What do I have on my back that I need to give to You this morning? What heavy weight and burden am I trying to carry that You are bidding me to come and place on Yours? As we do that, and I pray that He will lift it off your shoulders as you give it to Him. And He'll put His yoke upon you. And you'll realize that this yoke is exactly what you need to bear. No more, no less. Amen. Let's come before Him in this time. Father God in heaven, You say that I, the Lord, search the hearts of men. And I pray, God, that you would please, as a search lamp, come into each of our hearts here. For there are many of us who are heavy, who are weary. Reveal to us, Lord, and let us not hide it. Reveal to us exactly what it is that we are trying to carry of our own strength with the arm of flesh. Reveal it to us, dear God. Maybe it's something about a relationship. Maybe it's something about our country. Maybe it is something about our own personal life. Maybe it is something about our work. Dear God, I pray that you'd reveal it to us now. And I ask, Lord, in heaven, that each of us here would lay it on your back. That we would put it upon your shoulder, Lord. We want to serve you and obey you in this area. You're not taking it from us so that we can no longer be of use. You're taking it from us so you can use us effectively. Please, Lord God. And Father, I pray for anyone who is burdened not with a specific circumstance, but burdened with their own very sin in their heart. The sin that so easily besets us. I pray even that, Lord, that we would throw off that weight. We would throw off that sin. Upon the cross where you died and bled to forgive us. For you were that gift unto us. Sinners as we are, you were that gift. And that we would receive the new life you have for us. That someone would receive that now, Lord. That gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, for all of us, you have a yoke for us to wear. You have a work for us to do. Use us effectively. We want to be more effective, dear God. Oh God, we want to be more effective. Do this in and through us for your name's sake, for your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, for your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King.